Let's start the next session, the last session of the day, which is a lightning talk by Jordi Isidro Llobet, a business intelligence architecture for social and solidarity economy. So over to you.
Thanks very much. Good evening, first nightly session. The last, maybe the least, but go on. I'm going to talk about a business intelligence architecture for social and solidarity economy. I'm Jordi Llobet. I'm a data engineer. In my CV, I put that I'm a data engineer and business intelligence and SQL enthusiast, but it's a lie. I'm a SQL hooligan. I'm working in CopDevs. It's a workers' cooperative. We call ourselves free software for social economy. We only use free software. We only work for social and solidarity economy entities. But what social and solidarity economy is? Social and solidarity economy refers to a wide range of economic activities that tend to prioritize social profitability instead of purely financial profits. NGOs, cooperatives, associations, foundations, and all types of entities that want to transform the world to become a better place. And of course, social and solidarity economy companies, like other companies, need to make decisions based on data. Sometimes they don't know. Sometimes they don't want to know. Sometimes they are uncomfortable with that. But they need it. When you want to develop business intelligence project for social and solidarity economy, first of all, you need to analyze how is social and solidarity economy. OK, you can find car sharing cooperative, telecommunications cooperative. Lawyers or bureaus, architecture bureaus, marketplaces, supermarkets, and a lot of different kinds of stores, schools, and a lot of different businesses. Sometimes you can find many mature IT departments and databases with thousands of millions of rows. Sometimes you can find databases with some hundreds of thousands of rows, and sometimes you find entities with rows. Sometimes you can find entities with only one data source, traditionally an ERP. Usually you find entities with a lot of different data sources. Sometimes you find entities with a low budget. Usually you find entities with a very low budget. Don't worry, you never find entities with a high budget. And of course, you have to develop business intelligence project or any kind of a project for social and solidarity economy, you must use free software. But not for price, because sometimes Google or Microsoft offers free tires for NGOs. The importance is for building community, for sharing knowledge, for protecting user privacy. In short, for freedom. We have seen that we have a very different kinds of entities in social and solidarity economy, with different needs and different architectures. And also they have a very low budget, and they want to intercooperate. Then, we need to build different architectures, and we built different architectures for each type of entity, smalls, mediums, large, or extra large. Each architecture is based on the previous level. Then you can start as a small entity and then install the new components if you become a medium company. All architectures are modular. You can quit some element and install other. For example, if you don't want DBT plus R for ETL, you can install Apache Hop, for example. And if you and all the entities, all architectures is based on the previous one. If you become, you start as a small company and then you become a medium, you only have to install the new components, not the other parts. Okay, how have we done it? We use Ansible, because Ansible allows us to choose what to deploy in each case. With variables, with tags, you can choose if you want to install the Postgres, the DBT, the superset, or whatever you need. If you are bigger, you can install a staging area, a data lake, and so on. It allows to have two different environments, detect changes in software and configurations. If you define a new variable in your Ansible, then you will install the new components. You start as a medium company and then you become a large company, you define the new variables, and then Ansible detects these changes and installs the new components that you need. And also allows to encrypt variables. And what we have done from CopDevs, we have an Ansible provisioning of this architecture with all the variables, with all the tags, in order that you can test, you can share in your own communities, you can do merge requests, you can invest in whatever you want with this architecture in order to provide all social and solidarity economy architectures for their business intelligence projects. And also we have Ansible inventories with variables defined for our customers. All are encrypted because Ansible allows encrypt variables, but if you want to test it, you only have to change the encrypted variables for your own databases and deploy on your own servers, and then you can test these architectures. Okay, let's see some architecture components. We are going to see the data warehousing, the ETL process, and the data visualization. For data warehousing, we use Postgres because it's free, because it's robust, and has a good community. And also has extensions. I like a lot two extensions. One is Timescale, that allows to write very efficient queries from time series, that it's the most used use case in data warehousing. And the other is Frame Data Wrapper. Frame Data Wrapper allows us to access different data sources as if they were in the same database. You can cross different sources, for example, a CSV, a Postgres database, and MySQL, another Postgres database, in only one query. And it's very nice for fast time to market if you have small companies or medium companies with little data, because you can cross data very easily from all the sources and then put it in a superset and visualize it directly. It allows to simulate the E of an ETL process, the extract part, because it simulates that you have the data on your own server. But the data is not on your own server. Then if you have a big database, you will have to be careful with the performance. How to solve that? With dbt. We solve with dbt because it allows to do the transform and load of an ETL system. With SQL, it has to be Jinja. For SQL hooligans, it's very nice because you can do ETLs only with SQL. And also, it assumes the data lineage and the documentation automatically. I hate two things in the world, racist people and writing documentation. And dbt solved me the second one, partially. It also has time control, data quality, and so on. In green, data sources. Blue, the medium parts. In orange, the final table. All tables with the columns, with the time column, automatically, without doing anything. We have seen in the previous talk that you can add more information on your models with description of each case, but automatically makes this only with SQL plus little Jinja and some more information. ETLs, all data lineage, only with SQL. Finally, for data visualization, we use Superset. We have seen three talks previous. It's an iterative dashboard viewer with SQL plus Jinja, if you want, with filters, CSS, style adaptation, user control, role-level security. That's very powerful characteristic, the powerful feature. Embedding graphics